We got new arms.
We do have new arms.
Good one. I like it. I like it. I like it very much. But yeah, dude, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
Good, good. I'm excited to talk about today's show. Mm. We only have a couple news stories, but we have a new segment that we're going to introduce, which I'm excited about.
Yes.
And of course, we also have the box office, which I'm very excited about. It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
So with that down, you ready to dive into these stories?
Let's do it.
All right. What do you got for us first?
Our first story comes to us from The Hollywood Reporter. Netflix has tapped Dan Lin to replace Scott Stuber as the Netflix film boss.
Yeah, so this is interesting for a lot of reasons. One, Dan Lin has been the conversation of leading other divisions before. He was actually in talks to run DC Studios before James Gunn and Peter Safran took it over.
I believe he turned it down, correct?
Yes, he did turn it down, and it was because he wanted to focus on his production company at the time. And a lot of you may be asking, well, why is the production company not the focus now? Well, I think, one, he can probably get his production company to make some Netflix films, and two, all of Netflix is a bit of a wider net than all of DC. You're kind of limited to superhero films only.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was kind of his way to be like, oh, I can do pretty much whatever I want. And having a new person do Netflix's film division is interesting because he just helped produce the live-action Avatar The Last Airbender, mm-hmm. which was a huge success for the studio in terms of viewership. So they're happy with that and happy with him. And it also shows somebody who had run a production company kind of has very specific knowledge as to how film should be run and how it should go. Because Scott Stuber, the original guy, was very set on big movies for streaming only, which kind of is a dichotomy and an oxymoron if you think about it, because it's like, how are you going to make money that way? And it'll be interesting to see what Dan Lin does with this job. I'm going to pull a little bit from The Hollywood Reporter directly.
Yeah.
Dan Lin, the producer behind the Lego movies and the new live-action adaptation of Avatar The Last Airbender, has been tapped as the new head of film for Netflix, according to sources. Lin steps into the role vacated by Scott Stuber, who announced in January that he would step down in March. Lin's name had been in the mix since the early days of Headhunting, along with former Disney executive Sean Bailey and Twilight producer Wick Godfrey. Among a handful of others, Bailey seemed like the choice until with the February 26 shakeup at Disney resulting in his departure after a 15-year run at the Burbank-based studio that Sean Bailey's exit from Disney. Making a deal with Lin was not a slam dunk. Lin remained strongly tied to Rideback, his prolific production company, as we mentioned before, and Rideback Rise, his equally robust nonprofit endeavor. The two entities proved to be stumbling blocks on a previous occasion where he has been in contention for top C-suite positions. In the summer of 2022, for example, he was in talks to oversee DC Film and TV, which we had mentioned, but those talks ultimately fell apart over questions about Rideback. Under the new deal arrangement, Lin will depart from Rideback, leaving his partner Jonathan Eric and Rideback COO Michael LaFazzo as the new co-CEOs of the production company. Lin is due to begin his new job on April 1st. Lin already has ties to Netflix. He produced the 2017 horror movie film Death Note and the 2019 Oscar-nominated drama The Two Popes. What an interesting resume.
Duality of man.
Yes. And
so he likes his live-action animes.
Yes, and he had this to say. While I've been approached many times during my past 15 years at Rideback, I could truly never imagine leaving until Bella reached out with this incredible opportunity, Lin said in a statement. Bella's vision for the Netflix film division immediately interested me as it aligned so strongly with my own personal professional values and what we have been building over here at Rideback. There is such a strong foundation that's already been established in the film division at Netflix, one I'm excited to take part in and the next level as we continue growing the creative community to make Netflix the number one home for filmmakers. Make Netflix the number one home for filmmakers.
I would love to give Dan Lin some advice. You know, me, business savvy CEO,
yes.
Head of studio. Hire a fucking marketing team. Holy shit.
Yeah, Netflix never markets ever, really.
I know.
What I find interesting is he's suddenly cool with leaving his production company.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier it might be because Netflix will hire that company, but it also because they probably just paid him a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And him saying, I want Netflix to be the number one home for filmmakers. I'm projecting my own wants here. Theatrical? We going more theatrical? Is that what we're doing? Because that would make more filmmakers go. That's been a huge holdup for a lot of the big ones, at least.
It would, but I feel like they do have a pretty, like, good relationship with a lot of few people. I mean, you just had
the only one that's stuck is David Fincher
stay. Well, what about Ryan Johnson? They have all the Glass Onions.
Well,
Knives Out sequels.
After that, where does he go? Because we know Ryan Johnson was not thrilled about the barely theatrical thing that Glass Onion got.
Fair.
And Martin Scorsese already left them for Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they have Snyder.
I don't know. For now.
For now.
We'll see what happens there.
Depends on how much they let him do with Rebel Moon.
Exactly. I want to kind of go into the social media sphere and see other people's reactions to Dan Lin taking the job. On THR's tweet that said that he had been tapped to take over the Netflix film boss, we have some replies under here saying, oh shit, Netflix golden age is upon us. Some people excited. We also have some people say, Netflix stock is at an all-time high. Now is a good time to buy Disney and reinvent show business. I don't think this person knows how anything works. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Can you imagine a world where Netflix buys Disney?
No, because they won't. There's been some speculation, this is all I'm going to touch on it, of just while we were doing this dive, people being like, oh, he should buy the Snyderverse. Guys, it's not going to happen.
I think it's funny that...
They don't understand how rights work. That's the issue, right? Because I would love... Yeah. Let me be very clear. I would love to see Justice League 2 and 3 directed by Zack Snyder. I'd love it very much. It won't happen, not at DC and Warner Brothers, because they're not dumb enough to give those property rights away. They won't do it, and they won't sell it either.
The only people stupid enough to give away rights to big superheroes is Sony.
Yes. That is who's dumb enough.
You gotta respect... the amount of hope that these Snyder bros get, though.
They go for it.
Like, they're just pulling strings at this point. They're like, he was in talks to be the head of DC Studios. That means he can do this at Netflix. Yeah. Zack Snyder's there. It's gonna happen. I've always been pro that the other Snyderverse movies should just be animated and they should just let him do those.
That'd be cool. But I understand why he won't do that.
Oh, 100%.
Because if you do that, then that's kind of admitting defeat. You know, like,
No, correct, but I think that would be the most realistic way to get them.
Yeah, but you'd still have to do that with Warner Brothers and DC.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not happening at Netflix. DC's doing nothing at Netflix, and except maybe striking a deal to get some of the show's content.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Which already,
they're
on Netflix.
They're going to license stuff there.
Stuff's already on there. Suicide Squad's
there. But that division of licensing and production rights.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, no, yeah, no, that's different. Completely different. Yeah. 100%.
So, yeah. And look, I'd love some more Ben Affleck Batman. I got the Batarang right there. I don't know if anyone can see it, but it is right there. And Godspeed to everyone who wants the Snyderverse on Netflix. It won't happen. With that down, on that happy note,
Zack Snyder staying there a little longer.
Yeah, but even then, I think...
DC related.
I think Zack Snyder's secretly done.
Yeah.
I think he's just like, he's not going to say it, right? Because, you know, a lot of people want me to get a job. Great, you know? Yeah. But I think he wants to do his own thing, and he's been doing his own thing.
No, I'm not saying directly related to Snyderverse stuff. I'm just talking, like, I think Netflix is giving him a lot of freedom with Rebel Moon. I could see him just sticking around just because they're giving him these creative liberties.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And, you know, it also depends on how good those director's cuts are.
That's right. What is the director cut for the new one come out, or is it the next movie?
Part two comes out, and then the director's cuts for both come out.
Is there a third, or is it just one and two?
Two.
I never watched the first one.
Wait for the director's cut. I'll say that.
I'm going to let you watch the director's cut, and you tell me which one's better.
I will. I will do that for you. Let's move on to our next story.
Yes.
DC related. We have a new title for Superman Legacy, and we got the first brief glimpse of the logo.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas.
Yes.
It's just called Superman.
It is just called Superman.
I love this.
The first movie to be called Superman.
Yes, because technically Reeves was Superman the movie.
Exactly. I want Batman the movie. I'd go see the shit out of it.
Technically, I think Adam West might have been Batman the movie.
Is it? I'm going to look.
I think you do that. But anyway... James Gunn posts the picture on Instagram saying that the new title is going to be Superman, which I think is a great idea, especially if you're kickstarting a new DC universe. And the close-up look of the logo, I'm a fan of. It has the Kingdom Come look to it.
Yeah, it does.
But it has the red and yellow instead of the red and black. And it looks like it's in snow and ice, which tells me it's going to be at the Fortress of Solitude.
It is Batman the movie. I stand corrected. We got it, and it's great.
Yes, but yeah. I'm, of course, projecting Fortress of Solitude. I like the Fortress of Solitude. Mm-hmm. But,
I mean, the implication there with the snow kind of does imply that.
Yeah, but I think it's a very up-close, literally, look at the logo. I don't hate it, though. I am more of a fan of the traditional S, but I also understand from a story perspective, like, this... Looks more like the House of L, you know.
In terms of an iPhone image, though.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's not a bad iPhone shot.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, I'm sure it got a lot of work touched
up
to
it. Course,
I'm sure James Gunn took it and then sent it to someone and was like, you make this good.
Yeah, yeah.
But the colors I like.
Yeah.
The texture's interesting.
Same. I think it's very interesting. And I'm also going to pull up some reactions to that here in the social medias. Our Movie News tweeted, if they had the same material as the Reeves suit, they would say it's trying to pander to fans who want Reeves 2.0 and would say it looks cheap. If it was the same pattern as Cavill's suit, they would say Gunn is ripping off Snyder's Superman and would hate on it. He can't win. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in the response to somebody who said that it just looks too similar to the Cavill one, which I disagree. I can see why you would think that, but I do think it looks definitely different enough to where I didn't think of Henry Cavill when I saw it.
Yeah.
Well,
just the color is different as well. Like, you can tell the difference.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Also, that I thought was fun. Rachel Brosnahan did a quick TikTok video with David Cornswet and Nicholas Hoult to celebrate filming beginning. I think the cast is excited, which makes me excited, because if you're excited about your movie, so will I be.
Yeah. Did you see her caption?
Yes.
It was pretty good. Do you still have it pulled up?
Just X out of it.
Oh, God damn it. It's something like a journalist, a tech billionaire, and an alien walk into
a bar. Yeah.
Something along those lines. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. And also, I pulled up this one as well that you had sent me. Which live-action Superman had the best logo? Which is fun. And now, granted, we have not had a full look at James Gunn's logo, and we haven't seen it in context of the movie.
We have not. Also, like, four of these are just Zack Snyder's.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you have the black suit, you have Man of Steel, and BVS on here.
Yeah. Where do you land?
The Reeves is classic.
I like bottom left.
All the way bottom left?
All the way bottom left.
You wouldn't in context of the movie, because that Superman Returns.
Yeah.
And it's very small in his chest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Google right now, just Google like Superman Returns suit.
That was the one with Ralph.
Name Ralph.
No, I dig with it.
Okay. I do like the BVS and Justice League suits, but I'm also a big fan, and I've never even watched the show, but of the suit itself, the second suit for the Tyler Hoechlin Superman,
which
I like
that
emblem a lot. I think it's bottom right that's not James Gunn.
I don't like the S, like how too S-y it is.
I'm a big fan of the S, which is my only gripe with
that's why I liked the Superman Return. I'm looking at the Superman Returns one. I don't think it looks bad with how...
It's very small in his chest.
Yeah.
It's very small in his chest.
I mean, I'm not sharing my screen like in the recording and stuff, but like, I don't know how clear that's going to be. Like, I don't think that's small.
Okay, look at that. Now look at Christopher Reeves. Pull them side by side.
Okay, yes, it is significantly larger, but I think I like the
But like all the other ones, like Cavill's is Reeves
it's
size.
It's all on it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's very prominent.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I mean, hey, to each his own. If you like the Ralph one, that's great. The movie's not bad.
You can tell just from the images though that it is very much zoomed in.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah, that's Superman news. We got a new title, which I love. Yeah. Production started. We got the first look at the outfit. What do you guys think of the look of the outfit?
Well, there's some other big news coming out of Superman as well, in that we have our Perry White.
Yes, that's right. All that just happened.
Yeah, Wendell Pierce from The Wire and a bunch of other things.
Yes, I believe THR broke that.
Yeah.
Yes, that's great casting.
That is excellent casting.
That is amazing casting. He's going to be a great Perry White.
I found someone I couldn't... It was one of those tweets that I found, and then I just could not find it again to save it on here. Which I should have just grabbed it immediately, but it says something. It was like someone retweeting a tweet that they sent in like 2011. When did Man of Steel come out?
2013.
Okay, so it was around like 2013, 12, whenever they were like casting the movie and everything, and someone said, man, Wendell Pierce would be a great Perry White, but I don't think he's old enough yet. And then he just like retweeted it and was like, guys.
That's awesome. That's
no, it's
so awesome.
That's very good casting. I like Wendell Pierce a lot when he shows up in things.
Yeah, no, he's excellent.
He's very much that guy.
Yes.
When he shows up in movies.
And I do think he's going to do a good job. Mm. That is, thank you for reminding me. I would have completely not mentioned it. So with all that Superman news, guys, are you excited about it? What do you think? Let us know in the comments as we move on to the box office.
The box office.
We have a special new segment after the box office, so stick around once we do it. Nicholas, we didn't really do predictions last week because I don't believe you were here last week.
I wasn't. We had done predictions the week before, but
And I don't remember the predictions that I made because I didn't write them down.
Last week?
Yeah.
I don't remember either.
However, we're just going to move right along.
Move in right along.
Demonetize. So, do you want to give a gander at what maybe number one was? Just a guess.
My dude.
Yes. So these are the Sunday estimates. We'll put the final box office Monday numbers in the description below. Mm-hmm. Dune Part 2 opened to $81.5 million. Good for them. Bob Marley One Love came in second place with another $7.4 million.
God damn, what a difference.
Oh, yeah.
$80 million to $7.
Yeah. Ordinary Angels came in third, making in another $3.8 million, dropping only 38% from week one to week two.
Wow.
That's what that A Cinema score does for you.
A plus, I think it got, didn't it?
Was it A plus or A?
I think it got an A plus.
Okay. Either way, those high cinema scores will do well for your holds.
Even if it's your audience.
Yep.
Ordinary, it's alphabetized? I don't like that. I was like, just do the recent releases. Mm-hmm. Ordinary Angels, A plus.
Wow, yeah. There you go.
Wonka, an A minus, and for reference, Dune 2 came out with an A.
Yep.
That's wild.
It's wild. Madam Web came in fourth, sticking in the top five. Madam Web making another $3.2 million. And in number five, The Chosen Season 4, Episodes 7 through 8, making $3.1 million. It's a chance that they overtake Madam Web in the final numbers.
Did you see Sydney Sweeney just hosted SNL?
Yeah, I didn't see anything from it, though.
No, I watched her monologue. It was pretty funny, but one of the best jokes in it. She was like, my name's Sydney Sweeney. You guys might know me from my new movie, Anyone But You, or the TV show Euphoria. I know you definitely don't know me from Madam Web. And like she just like kept on. It's like, goddamn, they went for it.
That's pretty good.
I mean, at a certain point, your marketing does just have to turn into like, we know.
Yeah. Yeah, just write it off.
It's like what they did with the Fast and Furious ride at Universal. When everyone came out, it was so serious.
Yeah.
And then it just got shit on, and now every line is like a joke from the cast.
Yeah.
It was a decent pivot. Still not a good ride.
No, horrible.
Pivoted well.
Horrible. Let's dive into these numbers.
Let's do it.
Dune Part 2, total worldwide, has made $178 million worldwide on a budget of $190. So it's just about to overtake its budget in the first weekend. That's very good if you're a movie, especially of that size. I only foresee good things for Dune Part 2. Its opening weekend is just slightly awry of Oppenheimer's.
Ooh.
If that's any case of how well the movie could do. Bob Marley One Love has made $146 million worldwide. Good for that movie, because its budget was not that. I don't have it here. I believe it was around 40, if I'm not mistaken. Ordinary Angels has made $12 million domestically. It hasn't opened worldwide, but I don't imagine the budget was much higher than that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but I imagine it's not that big budget of a movie. Madam Web, however, has made $91 million worldwide on a budget of $80. It passed its budget.
Hey.
Good job, Madam Web.
Sony justified it.
Good job. Yes, if it crosses $100, what a celebration, honestly. But The Chosen, Season 4, Episode 7 through 8, has made $3.9 million. Doing good.
Is the finale come out next week, or is it end at 8?
I don't know. We got to find out.
I'm going to look it up, because that's going to affect the box office.
Migration finally dropped out of the top 5. So far, worldwide, is at $276 million. Good for Migration.
How much did that make?
On the weekend?
Yeah.
It made $2.5.
I was writing down my predictions for next week.
Okay. And as usually happens with the anime releases, Demon Slayer dropped 82%, but it did make a total of $36 million worldwide. Good for them.
There were only 8 episodes of The Chosen.
So there you go. So,
yeah.
Let's look at Beekeeper.
Let's look at Beekeeper, shall we?
$124 million worldwide. It was fun while it lasted as the highest grossing movie of 2024. It was fun while it lasted.
Was it the highest grossing?
Yeah, and then Bob Marley was.
Did anyone but you not?
And then Dune. Let me look. Anyone but you?
Listen, I'll tell you what. In terms,
no, 207. Yeah, anyone but you did pass it.
In terms of still my favorite movie of the year, it is now Dune 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Beekeeper had an excellent run. But in the hypothetical world,
yeah,
where Dune 2 kept its original release date of last year,
Beekeeper would still be number one.
Beekeeper's still number one. It made it to March.
Good for them.
Which is a hell of a run.
Driveway Dawes' total box office worldwide is 4.5 million.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Do you think the rest of his movies get made?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Did you know about... I didn't know about that until after the fact.
Yeah, you were telling me.
Yeah, that...
It's like a planned trilogy.
I don't think it's with... I don't think it's like a... It's like a almost like a Cornetto trilogy type thing where they're unrelated, but apparently it's just a bunch of queer road trip movies.
Yeah.
And he's like...
That'd be fun.
All right.
I mean, I'd like to see them.
I know that I think Margaret Qualley might be in all of them. I don't know if that means she's the same character. I hope it's a different character with an equally outrageous accent.
That'd be fun. I also want to look at Wonka. Worldwide has made $624 million and has officially made five times its $125 million budget. Good for that movie.
Could you imagine if the whiplash of seeing Timothée Chalamet do that and then Dune in the same month?
It's called a range.
I mean, he has it, but like, I don't think I would have been able to process it.
No. And lastly, Argyle.
Wonka, though.
Yes. Lastly, Argyle. Budget of $200 million. It is at $92 million worldwide. Hey, guys. Please let Matthew Vaughn do Kingsman 3. I know he's not in your good graces right now, universe, but please, can you just please let him do Kingsman 3 for me? I'd appreciate it.
He's going to end up in director jail.
I know. We got to get Damien Chazelle out.
I don't think he should be in it.
I agree.
Because I think Babylon is a good movie.
It is. It just didn't make any money.
I don't think Argyle is a good movie. He should be in director jail.
I liked Argyle. I'm like one of the seven people who enjoyed it.
Is anything coming out with Kung Fu Panda 4?
That's what I'm looking at. Oh, Cabrini, the new movie from Angel Studios, from the director of Sound of Freedom.
Is that the one about the nun?
Yes. And Imaginary.
Ooh. Oh, Imaginary comes out?
We got a good weekend. Ooh! I mean, in terms of numbers, that movie looks like shit. But
I did not know this.
Dude, I'm going to be so goddamn busy. So many movies to see.
Okay. I think I have my predictions.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go Dune Part 2.
Okay.
I think that's a safe bet.
I agree with you.
I'm going to go Kung Fu Panda 4.
Okay.
I'm going to go Imaginary. I'm going to go Bob Marley. And I'm going to go Ordinary Angels.
Okay. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit.
All right.
I'm going to go Dune Part 2, number one. I agree with you.
Yep.
I think it's going to have a strong hold. I'm going to go Kung Fu Panda 4, number two. Actually, you know what, Nicholas? I'm going nuts. Kung Fu Panda 4, number three. It's only had one trailer and it's had bad press. I'm going Imaginary, number two.
Has it had bad press?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What have they been saying?
Just some college campuses who saw it early that say it's really bad.
Imaginary
number two, because it's horror. Horror is a pretty good...
I mean, yeah, I think it's all counter-programming, Dune 2.
It is.
Kung Fu Panda 4, okay.
Kung Fu Panda 4 is number three. I'll go Cabrini number four, because I think they've been marketing a lot to their audience. And I'll go Bob Marley number five.
Mm. No Ordinary Angels.
Nope, I think the audience who...
Yeah, saw it.
They're going to go see Cabrini instead.
They're just moving over. They're like, oh, I saw Ordinary Angels. Yep. Cabrini, I didn't realize that Angel Studios had something else coming out.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Ordinary Angels having the A+, and people want to go see it again.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Because I know I'm not in the audience, but I also haven't heard of Cabrini.
So yeah, those are our predictions for next week. Mm-hmm. And before we go, though, guys, we have a fun new segment that we're going to introduce that we may even do this segment as a full episode when we do our second episodes in the week eventually.
Yeah,
because I think it's a good idea.
Go on.
This segment is called Random Movie Thoughts, where we kind of just throw something out about movies that we think and just kind of see where it goes down the rabbit hole.
I'll go one that I think is, I mean, this could be the wrong direction here, but I'm going to go with a little recency on it. I watched Twister.
Oh, for the first time.
For the first time.
Yes.
I think Twisters is going to be quite good.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Okay. I don't know what the online discourse is towards Twisters. I know we get a little iffy with remakes and stuff, but I think that that has a lot of things going in the
past. It's kind of like a secret. It's like a sequel reboot.
Did they say that? Like, it's kind of like a...
Yeah. They're using the same device at the end of Twister 1 in the trailer. So, man, we don't have Bill Paxton or Philip Seymour Hoffman.
We don't, but man, does Glenn Powell have a lot of star power.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think he fits... I assume that role. I could see them going for the same type of characters and it's just being an updated version of it that maybe exists.
Uh-huh.
But I think that if they take the time and do the effects right, because that's really what it's going to come down to also with the story, because I would say the effects in Twister were not anything incredible in terms of actually looking at the Twisters.
Yeah.
It looks dated. How about that?
Yeah.
But I still felt the...
It was good filmmaking
of it.
Yeah.
So I think that if they do that well with the updated VFX technology that we have, we could be in for something very interesting.
That they'll bring back the ride at Universal.
And
yes.
The fact that we have...
That's what we need.
The fact that the Minari director, because when you win an Oscar for like kind of your first thing, people are like, oh shit, what are you going to do next? And the fact that he was like, I want to do Twisters. That just makes me more excited.
Yes.
I don't know if that's kind of what we're going for with this.
No,
segment,
but it's just about where it goes. Like that, you saying Twister made me think of Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Yeah, disaster movies.
Yes, but like
2012 underrated.
Okay, I've only seen it once, so I can't like.
Oh, I can't either. I've seen it like five times.
But here's what I'll say. Maybe this is a hot take. I don't care what anyone says. Armageddon is good. I like that movie.
Are there people that think it's not?
There are so many.
Really?
Listen, the premise is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous premise of sending oil drillers to space to drill a hole into a meteorite to blow it up before it reaches Earth. Ridiculous premise. And Ben Affleck, in the film's commentary, brought it up to Michael Bay. And he's like, if you listen to the commentary, Ben Affleck talks to Michael Bay and he's like, yeah, I told him like, hey, wouldn't it be easier to train astronauts to become oil drillers? And Michael Bay just told me to shut the fuck up. Listen, it's a ridiculous movie. I love it.
I quite enjoy Armageddon.
The score is amazing, first
of all. The soundtrack is amazing, because let's not forget, don't want to miss a thing from Aerosmith.
The performances are great. The characters have so much fun. And it's sad. I get teary-eyed at the end of the film. Even if it's cheesy, even if the script is whatever, the practical and visual effects are great. It's a super fun movie, and Billy Bob Thornton was also good in it. I love Armageddon. I think Armageddon's a good movie.
So I went to Letterboxd because I was curious what our A-list crew had given it. Most have seen it. There are not any star rankings on it. Mauricio did give it 3 stars, so I do have to agree that it's not a good movie. How about that?
Hey.
I'm kidding.
First of all, 3 stars is not a bad rating.
No.
What are we talking about? But
he's the only one that rated it, so I'm using his word as law.
Armageddon, it's nuts. And if that doesn't... Like, if you're watching it and you can't get past how ridiculous the premise is, you're not going to enjoy the movie.
I feel like they handled the suspension of disbelief very well in it.
I don't know if they handled it, but they did address it. And I think addressing it was very important. And the fact that they addressed it, at least, helped.
I have not seen Moonfall, but I want to.
Me too. Patrick Wilson, right?
Yes.
We love Patrick Wilson.
But I would go out on a limb, and including Armageddon, I would say... Twister's the best disaster movie.
Is it a disaster movie, though?
Because
it doesn't really cause like the mass destruction that like Independence Day... Independence Day. If that's a disaster movie, we gotta say Independence Day.
I haven't seen Independence Day.
Okay.
But isn't that more like an alien invasion sci-fi movie?
Yes.
I'm talking like disaster, like the world is like that. That was Armageddon's a meteor heading toward Earth that's going to create an impact. 2012 is everything happening.
Yeah,
Moonfall's the moon's coming. You know, I think of disaster movie, I think of geological.
Yeah.
I didn't see Geostorm.
Neither did I, but I heard it wasn't bad.
You know, but I
the day after tomorrow's okay.
I would say you feel the impact of Twister, like the scene when they go back to the aunt's house.
Yeah. No. Don't get me wrong.
Like
I think Twister is the best movie.
Yeah.
My holdup is on is it a disaster movie? That's my holdup.
Do you think disaster needs to be a global scale?
I guess
does it not fit in that category?
I guess that's what my holdup is. If we can just come to the consensus that it doesn't have to be, then I will agree with you.
Well, I guess because then, like, does Jaws count as a disaster movie because it's a nature, yeah, right, force of nature terrorizing, mm-hmm, one town?
Yeah. Jaws is a slasher movie.
I'd agree with that.
100%.
I would call Twister a disaster movie.
Then I will agree with you.
I would not. I don't think it has the scale of the global ones, which, yeah, I think is what makes it different.
But it makes it more personal and down.
Which I think works to its benefit.
I agree. I agree 100%.
Because I feel like there's, like with Armageddon, you said the stakes, the realism. Like, you feel that with a tornado movie because you're like, oh, here's a tornado. Like, mm-hmm, yes, I believe that this F5 tornado could just absolutely desolate this small town.
Yeah.
And I feel bad.
Yeah.
Because there's literally no, it's unpredictable.
Mm. David Fincher hot take.
Okay.
Mank is better than The Killer.
In what, just overall?
Actually, not at all. I just wanted to see what you were going to say.
Well, I was going to just ask in terms of, like, if you're saying just in general, I disagree, but if you wanted to go into, like, a specific
thing.
Oh,
no, I think The Killer is better than Mank. Yeah. I think Mank was very overloved. But, yeah.
I think what I'll give Mank, I think Gary Oldman gives a better lead performance than Michael Fassbender.
I'll give you that, 100%.
In terms of my entertainment and the filmmaking, I think that Killer's better. Would you count Olympus Has Fallen as disaster?
No. I'd call that a Die Hard movie.
Would you call Die Hard? No, kidding. I thought Olympus... No, Olympus is people attacking the White House, right?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought that was a disaster movie. No. I don't know why.
But hey,
I haven't seen it.
But I do miss the genre of action movie that's just Die Hard in a blank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Olympus Has Fallen is Die Hard in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Nonstop is Die Hard on a train.
Nonstop is Die Hard on a plane.
Commuter's the train.
Commuter's the train. Okay, get your shit correct.
Listen, the Liam Neeson ones get me mixed up.
Nonstop's incredible, first of all. I want to rewatch Nonstop.
Okay, best Jean Colette Sarah movie. It's not Black Adam, but you know what? It might be second.
Hold on, I need to...
Because I have my answer. I have it ready.
I need to look up who he is. He directed Black Adam?
Yep.
Okay, hold on. I'm pulling up IMDb now.
Okay. I have my answer, and it's not even close for me.
All right, so for the audience, what I'm going to do, Juan Colette Serra directed, I'm going to go through some. There's Run All Night, mm-hmm, Liam Neeson. Unknown, Liam Neeson. The Commuter, Liam Neeson. Nonstop, Liam Neeson.
Uh-huh.
The Shallows.
Uh-huh.
House of Wax.
Uh-huh.
Jungle Cruise. Oh, fuck you. You're going to make me say Jungle Cruise, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to make you say
Orphan anything. And Black Adam.
Now, let the record show I have not seen Jungle Cruise.
Let the record show that is my girlfriend Morgan's favorite movie of all time. And I will eat shit for not saying that it's the best. But it's not because it's Nonstop, baby. It's Nonstop.
Nope, it's not Nonstop. It is The Shallows.
Run All Night.
The Shallows is easily, Jean-Claude Serra's best movie. I love The Shallows. I think it's highly underrated. It's the best shark movie since Jaws. It's not on the same level, nearly, but it's the best shark movie since Jaws. Blake Lively is great, and there is actual legitimate suspense in that movie, like edge-of-your-seat suspense, and the VFX actually look quite good. And it pushed the boundaries of its PG-13 rating quite well. I love The Shallows.
I've never seen it.
We have to do a Jean Colette Sarah double feature where I watch Jungle Cruise for Morgan and you watch The Shallows for me. I have The Shallows on 4K. I love that movie so much.
You know who's in Jungle Cruise?
Who?
Oscar nominee Paul Giamatti.
That's all you had to say? I didn't know Paul Giamatti's in that movie.
Ask me if he does a ridiculous Italian accent.
Does he do a ridiculous Italian accent?
Fuck it. He has a parrot on his shoulder.
Good. Good, good, good.
Do you know what movies... Listen. Run All Night, Nonstop, and Commuter. Fucking great Liam Neeson movies.
Yes.
Are they great? No. But are they entertaining? Yeah. They're what you want from a Liam Neeson
movie. All better than Taken 2 and 3. Taken 2 and 3 are terrible.
Have you seen Run All Night?
No. Is that the one with Joel Kinnaman also?
Okay. It's the one, first of all, yes. Second of all, it's the one with Liam Neeson as well.
Okay.
Because he's the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's Joel Kinnaman. Yes, it's Ed Harris as the bad guy.
Uh-huh.
And yes, Vincent D'Onofrio plays the cop tracking him down.
Go on.
There's a scene.
Are we about to do a Jean Colette Sarah marathon?
There is a scene in Run All Night where D'Onofrio calls Liam Neeson. And, oh, because he's the cop tracking him down, and he's like, you better go get yourself another coffee. It's going to be a late night. That's the kind of movie we're dealing with.
Okay, I got to watch this fucking movie. I got to watch it.
God, I love these Liam Neeson movies.
Oh, yes. We should do like a whole segment on those Liam Neeson films. That would be
fun. I agree. I haven't seen Orphan.
Oh, he directed the original Orphan.
Orphan and House of Wax looks like another horror movie.
Yeah.
He's kind of really all over the place here, genre-wise. Listen, I didn't think Black Adam was poorly directed.
It's not, and it's not
There's
horrible.
There's some really good action scenes in it.
And VFX, too.
Yeah. I'm going Nonstop as my favorite.
Of the ones I've seen, which he directed a lot more than I previously thought he did, I'm going The Shallows. I love The Shallows.
I haven't seen Unknown with Liam Neeson, but I'm gonna.
Yeah. You know what movie doesn't get talked about enough?
Eh.
Cold Pursuit.
Pursuit.
It's a remake. I haven't seen the original. I want to really bad. But Cold Pursuit is one of the best dark comedies I've ever seen.
You know what's actually another really good Liam Neeson one that I like? Hold on. I'm trying to find the specific name because I used to always mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one, Walk Among the Tombstones.
That one's not bad. I've seen that one.
That one's a decent one.
Yeah.
I don't dislike that one at all.
Yeah. We can definitely do entire episodes of doing this.
Yeah.
100%.
I think we could too.
So you'll probably see that in the future, guys. But yes, what is your random movie thought of the day? I'd love to hear it in the comments below. Thank you guys so much for watching as always, and we will see you on the next one. I'm leaving that in.